Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this joint service of worship with our Christian brothers and sisters at Clooney Money Mosque, Echt, Emedmar, Kintore, Blair Duff, Chapel Geary, and Kemne. We're glad to have each and every one of you join us for worship today. And at the start of this time, as ever, we have a brief catch up with each other to hear what's going on in our respective churches and to share a fellowship together. So we'll start with our good friend from Kintore, Neil. Neil, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Joshua. Very well indeed. News from Kintore is that it's thankfully a quietish summer, touch wood so far. in addition to these services I've mentioned already, we're also having an interesting time with our summer services in person and on Zoom, in that we're focusing on all of our various mission partners. And so last week we looked at our messy church, and this Sunday we'll be looking at our links with, I do know their name, Tearfund, that's right, Tearfund. And then next week we'll be talking about the food bank. So it's just lovely to get some insight into people's involvement in these different charities and groups and missions. So hearing what they're saying, and the exciting thing for me has been what I'm calling the God question interviews. We identified some time ago through our Growing Young project that we don't tend to be very good about speaking about our faith. Our personal faith. We're quite reticent to talk about our faith. So I've been asking people the question: what is your relationship with Jesus? What is it about your relationship with Jesus that causes you to be involved in this charity? And where do you see God at work in this charity? And the conversations have just been lovely. So look out for that. The interviews will be on our website as well if anybody wants to pick those up.
Very good. Thank you, Neil. And over to our friends from Blair Duff Chapel Geary, represented by our friend Stella. Stella, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. I'm just so glad it's a lovely day, because the socket power has gone from our house at the moment. So my hair is a bit bedraggled, but it'll dry quite well in the sun. And it just made me think about how often you go to something and switch it on and you expect it always to be there, and how we've got so many people in the church who just quietly go and clean it and make it ready for worship and do all these jobs behind the scenes, and it's only when something happens that it hasn't worked or hasn't got there that you realize how much work is done behind the scenes. So just a thank you and a shout out to everyone that does do so much work out there. We don't have a huge amount of news to report other than I met with most of the session clerks from the grouping yesterday, and just realized what a great group of individuals that are working so hard behind the scenes on behalf of the church. And we look forward to getting to know them a lot better as time goes on. Thank you.
Thanks, Stella. Appreciate that. And over to our friends in Clooney Money Mosque, represented by our friend Ewan. Ewan, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm grateful that the hairdryer worked for me, not that it takes very long for my hair to require to be dried. Just a wee bit, I thought I'd tell you about our exciting Sunday school picnic on Sunday past. I mentioned it last week. Well, we actually met and we had an outdoor service, and then we had some crafts, and there was about a dozen kids there. There was a few families unable because of the holidays. And I thankfully, I had to leave a wee bit earlier because I had some work to do. And just when I got home, about less than a mile from where the picnic was, the heavens opened and the thunder started. And the host of the house, I'm told, got absolutely soaked trying to get all the families into their house during the storm. But the kids thought it was the most exciting picnic they'd been to for a while, simply because of the rain starting down and the thunder crashing, because they're up on the hill above Money Mosque. And it was so exciting for them. But as I say, I was grateful that I'd been home sitting at my computer doing some work when that happened. But it was a lovely afternoon seeing face to face. I just wanted to do a wee bit of advance notice. I finally worked out I'm going to be off on holiday, and I've got to look this down on a piece of paper, 23rd of July to the 4th of August, and I'll be at time, but I'll let people know about that locally. Also, I'm going to wear another hat today, and this is the sort of formal notice, in that yesterday, this is Wednesday, we're recording this, the First Minister gave the next step towards the release of lockdown. And there is a possibility that the social distancing will change in church come Monday. When we're recording this, I still don't know. But what I do know is that irrespective of when it happens, every congregation in our area group and everyone else in our presbytery will have to change their risk assessments and also reassess the number of people they can get in their church. So please, if you've not done that, you need to start thinking about it soon. I'll be doing it before this weekend, just going around with my inch tape and trying to work out how many people we can seat in the church should it change, but it won't change this coming Sunday. So these are the two things that I wanted to speak about today. I'm sure that we're looking forward to a lovely summer going forward.
Thanks, Ewan. Appreciate that update. And thanks especially for reminding us that the regulations are hopefully to be changing soon, and we'll hopefully all do our due diligence to make the adjustments necessary going forward. So a good reminder we're all in this together as well. So just a few things to share about Kemne. A reminder that Loaves and Fishes on a weekly basis is open Tuesday to Thursday, 10 to 4 for customers to come in, enjoy a cuppa and find peace. And so please do come by and enjoy what I think is the best view in Kemne and some of the best food in Kemne as well. On the 4th of August, I mentioned this in weeks past, but on the 4th of August, we're going to start a bereavement group at the church center. We'll be on a weekly basis starting on the 4th of August from 10 to 12 in the morning at the Kirk Center. And this is for anybody, especially for those who have experienced a bereavement either during the pandemic or, of course, before the pandemic as well, but a chance to support each other as we process difficult emotions and experiences over the past stretch of time. I'm also pleased to announce regarding worship in Kemne, we are open on a weekly basis in the church now. And after some discussion, we've decided to drop the requirement of pre-booking a slot in Kemne. We still, of course, are subject to COVID restrictions, but all we ask is for people who wish to worship to, when they do arrive at the church, to supply their name and contact info for track and trace purposes. But there's no longer any need to pre-book a slot. And we have plenty of space, so please don't fall into the trap of thinking, oh, somebody else needs my seat, I shouldn't go or whatnot. There's plenty of space to come and join in worship together. And I'll be saying more about that on the Kemne Facebook page later on today. So those are the main things to share from Kemne, but we are glad to join in worship together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Let's worship now.
Good morning. Our call to worship today is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And the reading carries on to say, live in harmony with each other. And Colin Smith wrote a small essay on this, And he spoke about harmony. Harmony, as all musicians know, is a pleasing arrangement of different parts. You get harmony when different notes are brought together in such a way that one note complements another. Harmony is not unison. You don't get harmony by everyone playing the same note. Harmony does not mean everyone thinks the same, nor does the same. And harmony is not discord. Discord is when the notes are brought together in such a way one note diminishes another. To live in harmony is to live in such a way that you enrich and complement each other. Together, you are more than any of you would be on your own. There is a display of beauty that comes from taking what is distinct and different and making it one. And as we join together today in all listening to the same service from the different parts of the group, we are all one and we're all disparate and different, and we can take comfort in knowing that we can be different and add our own value in the service that is to come today. Let us call to worship and worship God. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 4, verse 35, and then picking it up at chapter 5, verse 1 till 20. Hear now the word of God. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion. And they saw him sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is God's word to us today. To the Lord be the praise and the glory. Amen.
Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side." Well, what was on the other side of the lake? Jesus and his disciples were on the Galilean side of the Sea of Galilee. It was the northwestern side. It was Jewish provincial territory, farmland, fishing ports. Provincial Judaism. On the other side of the lake was, to the southeast, was an area known as the Decapolis. This was Roman territory, modern day, kind of where the border of Syria and Jordan intersect. And there was not a happy history between the two sides of the Galilean lake. There'd been animosity between the Jews on the Palestinian side of the lake and the people living under Hellenistic influence, the Hellenistic influence of the Roman Empire. During the time of Alexander, prior to the Roman Empire, Alexander had placed his empire in the hands of some of his generals, and first of all, that area of modern-day Israel-Palestine came under the control of the Ptolemies from Egypt. And they, after some fighting and trading and so forth, eventually relinquished that area to another group of Alexander's successors, the Seleucids. The Seleucids were harsh, whereas the Ptolemies were quite gentle and kind upon the people of Israel
The Seleucids were harsh, harsh. In particular, one of their emperors, Antiochus Epiphanes, was absolutely vile towards the Jewish people, destroying their way of life and their religion as far as he could. So much so, in fact, that he was eventually overthrown by Jewish rebels under the Maccabean Revolt. They threw off the shackles of the Seleucid Empire, and for a period of about 100 years, the people of Israel were independent of any foreign rule. The Seleucids, however, continued to be on the other side of the Lake Galilee, the area known as Aram, from which we have the word Aramaic, which, if you're familiar with the languages of the Bible, was the language that Jesus and his contemporaries spoke. This Aramaic area formed part of the Armenian Empire, which continued to be to the east of the Roman Empire, even after Roman expansion had taken place. So these were the descendants of the evil, horrible Seleucids. What's worse, these people, we're told from our Bible reading, were pig farmers. As you know, within Judaism, pork was not kosher. And so in every conceivable way, the people on the other side of the lake were the enemy, the verboten, the beyond the pale. So as we start our view of this this story from the Bible today, I wonder if I could ask you, if you could consider for a moment, who is on the other side for you? When you think of people being there, not us, other, different, enemies even, who is on the other side for you? Who is on the other side of your world politically? Who is on the other side of your world ideologically? Even within your own family, perhaps there's an ancient family feud that goes back a long, long way, and there are those on your side and there are those on the other side. Who is on the other side for you? I'm asking this because Jesus says to his disciples, and we are his disciples today, let's go across to the other side. Firstly, you may ask, why should Jesus say to his disciples, let's go across to the other side? And this is perhaps the easiest part of the story to understand, because we know that it is within Jesus' nature to go to the other side. In one of his letters, Paul reminds us that Christ, who was in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but happily gave himself over, humbled himself to become human, to become part of our world, humbling himself even to the point of becoming a servant. Jesus is in the business of going across to the other side. And if you ever wonder why we should be called to go to the other side, remember that the only reason we know Jesus is that he took the initiative to come to the other side where we were. Yes, that's right. There was a time when you and I were on the other side from where God and Jesus were. But going to the other side is not easy, and Jesus doesn't pretend that it is. And even if you read the story, you discover that going to the other side is not a simple matter. We didn't read the tail piece of chapter 4, but if you read there, after Jesus says to his disciples, let's go across to the other side, it's not a simple matter of hopping in the boats and going. In the course of their trip across the lake, a great storm blows up and their lives are imperiled. In fact, it almost seems as though everything in nature militates against Jesus and his disciples going across to the other side. Going to the other side is not comfortable or easy. If we were to reach out to those who are on the other side for us, we may discover that there is nothing in the world encouraging us to do so. Just as for Jesus and his disciples, we may discover that actually everything in the world militates against us going across to the other side. So would you go to the other side if you knew that people will try to stop you rather than cheer you on? It gets worse, because Jesus gets to the other side, and what does he discover? Well, on the other side, we discover that things are even worse than perhaps the disciples may have thought. Imagine their thoughts as they got into the boat and headed across. Oh my goodness, we're going to the Decapolis. Those people are our evil sworn enemies. Those people are pig farmers. Those people are so different to us. We'll have nothing to do with them. How terrible could it be to be on the other side? And when they get there, it's even worse than they imagined. There they encounter a man walking amongst the tombs, walking amongst the dead, a man who could not be bound, who wandered around cutting and bruising himself, a madman, worse even than the enemies that they had imagined on the other side. So, again, if God should call you to go across to the other side, would you go? If you knew that there was a chance that what you find there on the other side is even worse than you imagine it to be. And what about the people on the other side? If we were to go across to the other side, and you understand the way I'm using this metaphor, is in a way in which we would be on the other side, reaching out perhaps with an olive branch, trying to make peace, to be the peacemakers that Jesus calls us to be. We may think that we would be welcomed as heroes. Ah, at least you've taken the trouble to come across to our side to make peace, to make things right, to put things right, to bury the hatchet. But what if you have absolutely no success on the other side? Now, when Jesus got there, it's not as if the people cheered him on saying, yay, look at what he has done. He has healed this man who had demons in him and he's cast out the demons. No, no, no. No cheering for Jesus. Instead, they beg him to leave. It's fascinating, this little interplay here, because the demons within the man beg to leave, to be sent into the pigs, and the people in turn beg for Jesus to leave them alone. So if Jesus himself could meet with so little success on the other side, what sort of chance do you or I stand if we should go across to the other side to try to make peace, to try to reconcile, to try to heal? So would you go to the other side if there was a good chance that you would meet with no success there? Would you still go? But of course, a story like this is not all bad news, because it turns out that there is something happening on the other side, something very small and almost imperceptible. Just prior to Mark relating this story, he tells us a couple of parables of Jesus. And in one of these parables, Jesus talks about a seed, a mustard seed. He's talking about the kingdom of God, and he says that a mustard seed is so small, but it is sown upon the ground, and even though it is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, yet when it grows, it becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests and find shade in it. Well, when Jesus goes to the other side, there is a tiny, tiny seed sown. Because the demoniac himself, who is healed by Jesus, we're told immediately went and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. One man, one madman at that, who encountered the good news of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, the willingness of Jesus to reconcile and to heal. And he went and told this one man. And so missionary work had begun among the Armenian people. It's nice to stay on this side. On this side, we know the territory. We know that we are right. We know that we are safe. On this side, we're not going to be surprised by things that are out of place, that are unexpected or uncomfortable or awkward to deal with, or even morally questionable. This is a nice place to be on this side. But Jesus says to his disciples and to us, let's go across to the other side. Will you go? Will you go amongst those who are different, amongst those with whom you disagree, amongst those who have hurt you in the past? Can you carry the message of reconciliation, of hope, and of good news, even in a place that may not be very welcoming? Well, that's what Jesus calls us to do. And just as a postscript, if you're wondering whether this seed bore any fruit, here's a little bit of a postscript which you might not be aware of. Everybody knows that the work of the disciples after Jesus' death and after the gift of the Holy Spirit brought about great fruitfulness. There were missionary journeys all through the Roman Empire. The missionary work of St. Paul is well known all across the Roman world. The good news of Jesus became known. So we know what the disciples ended up doing. So successful, in fact, was their mission that Christianity eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And that happened in the year 325 AD under the protection of the Emperor Constantine. What you might not know is that 24 years before that, Christianity became the official religion of Armenia. Now, who were the missionaries? Who sowed the seeds for that mission? Could it have been that one crazy demoniac? It's amazing what can happen when we take good news across to the other side. Amen.
Thank you. Shall we once again join together in prayer? Let us pray. Holy God, we look for you. We long for you. Let us see that you come among us. Make us aware of your presence and help us to turn towards you and come to glimpse your glory and your power and experience your grace and your love. Loving God, prepare us in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to do the work you have set before us. As we turn and walk the road towards your outstretched arms, remove from our lives those powers and forces that have caused us to do evil rather than good, to hate rather than love, to hold resentment close to us rather than the power of your forgiveness, to seek amusement rather than fulfillment. Bring down the high places that obstruct your path and fill the valleys that hinder our coming to you. Forgive us, Lord, for having wandered away from you, and help us to walk each day in the direction you would have us go. Compassionate God, by the coming of Christ Jesus, you give us strength in the midst of our weakness, peace in the midst of conflict, and light in the midst of darkness. We hear your voice calling to us. We see your hands reaching out to us. O Lord, enfold us in your arms, and not only us, but all whom we lift before you now in our hearts and with the words on our lips. Loving God, we bring before you our prayers for your church. We know that with you, your will be done on earth, but we wonder and we fear and we are uncertain of the path you would have us follow. As we come together in our parish group, we ask your blessing on us all, that we shall journey together, knowing that you are with us. Bless the work of your church in this and every land, and may it continue to be a beacon of light and love in a darkening world. And so we bring to you our prayers for your world. There is far more going on than we can pray just now, but you know the needs and hopes, and you hear the prayers. Help us as nations walk through this journey of COVID together. Be with doctors, nurses, and all in the caring fields. Be with the NHS as it ready for any spikes in infection, giving to follow the relaxation of all the restrictions. Give strength to we carers. Be with the leaders of nations that they may be blessed in their tasks and discharge them with empathy and courage to do what is right. Continue to bless our Queen and our family and all who serve in the governments of this land. And in this summer period, we pray for families. We hope that they can share time together, that those who can get away get a chance to have a break, and those who can't may find a chance to recharge their batteries. We pray for the sick, sad, lonely, and the bereaved, and bring to you now those who concern us most in a time of quiet. Lord God, hear these our prayers given in Jesus' name, and using the version that we are used to, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.